Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Guess what? Welcome back, everybody. Miles and Jack got mad. Boosties has returned for day two of NBA Con and Las Vegas Summer League. We were very blessed.
I think we can just call it the con. Needs the NBA at this point.
There's only one.
It's the con. But is that good?
Oh, yeah.
You want to call something the con?
The big con.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
What we mean is not NBA Con, and we're catching up with ESPN's Cassidy Hubbard to talk about Summer League and about her phenomenal podcast, Hoops Paradise, if you don't know.
On
iHeartRadio, talking about the Philippines, love of the game, and also currently sideline reporting here from Summer League. We'll talk all about that. But first, let me introduce myself. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is
Miles and Jack on Matt Boosties.
We do need to sing loud because there's a little music in the background.
It's all right.
I think people would rather hear us sing.
We can do some off-key versions of
DJ so
far.
Yeah, DJ is turning up.
But I will compete with him. I'm an only child, so I will try and out-scream an amplified DJ.
After the show, I want to pick your brain to see if you're okay.
Yeah. I'm a podcaster now.
You are raising a podcaster. So Cassidy, what you need to know.
Cassidy Hubbard, thank you so much for joining us here. We're here in Vegas. The energy is palpable. Tangible.
It was crazy last night. So we're recording this the day after Wembanyama's debut.
Yeah.
It was exciting that... Like, you could actually hear people's, like, energy. Like, when he walked onto the court for the first time, just when he would, like, put a shot up in warm-ups.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, whoa!
It was all roller coasters. The second he went up, and then just silence, too. It was really interesting, like, how people were, like, I don't know, I think maybe so overcome by the expectation of what they wanted to see that I felt like barely anybody was cheering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... The energy was definitely big last night for the first half.
Yeah.
And leading into it. And the energy even leading into the game. Thomas and Mack was filled even for that great Rockets-Blazers game,
that was amazing.
Bummer
that game
that
was
both
awesome.
Scoot and Amen got hurt. But that was a perfect setup as, like, Wemby was... hanging in the, hallway where he was like, everyone had their phones out.
Yeah.
And he could see over all of them. He was like hanging on the ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't know where you guys were seated, but like that's...
Nosebleeds.
Maybe you saw it.
But we were actually just trying to get a vantage point that was similar to Wembanyama.
Fair point. But like just him watching that game, everyone watching him and the game, that energy was... was insane. And then also, like, there's that area called the pit, which is behind, like, by the entrance and kind of behind where the media seating is. And mm-hmm. that is a really, really electric place because it's where a lot of the GMs and coaches and reporters kind of, like, network during uh-huh. Summer League, because that's kind of what this whole vibe is out here, especially for people in and around the league, is networking, feeling optimistic about the new year. That usually, like, you're able to kind of bob and weave through. There's, like, pathways. I had the hardest time getting to my seat because people were shoulder to shoulder, and that has never happened, not for the Zion debut, which I also did, not even for, you know, I don't know if you guys remember how big Lonzo's debut here at Summer League was. That, for me, was, like, the first time where Summer League just felt like a big event. I will say, like, the way the crowd was reacting to Wemby felt similar to the way the crowd was reacting to Zion. But Zion put on more of a show because he fed to the crowd with his pregame dunks.
Yeah.
I think just people were more curious. We had seen what Zion, you know, did in college.
In college. Yeah,
I think we've been talking about Wembanyama for, like, a long time, mostly for NBA people for the last year.
Yeah.
People are just curious. Like, they've heard so much. You watched some, you know, French League games, but, like, they wanted to see what he was about himself. And I don't know if he knew what he was about last night.
Yeah.
He was trying to figure it out.
It was a lot. I feel like there was just a lot of pressure. There was a lot, like, you could see a little bit of frustration, but, like, that's going to happen. Like, that's perfectly healthy and natural, and, like, that is what every NBA player has to be able to do, is, like, all right, now things have started. Now you have to, like, be able to put up with a little bit of frustration when the game is just, like, not going exactly as you pictured it in your head, you know?
And it's interesting because he mentioned, you know, in the pre-draft interviews, he said to, like, our Malik Andrews, I don't feel pressure. I've never even felt pressure. Even in school, anything I've done, I've never felt pressure.
I'm just good at everything.
It turns out.
And, like, that's why I identify with him, you know? It's just like...
Everything's so natural to you, yeah.
Everything's so easy.
And then, boom, comes to Las Vegas, you know, gets his first real scandal into, you know, obviously everyone wanting to talk to him, into his first debut, I think, into, you know, playing with these guys really for the first time, trying to figure out the principles of not just the NBA, but Spurs basketball.
Yeah.
That's something he told me. He's like, I'm still learning the principles.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned last night, he goes, I didn't really know what I was doing
out there. Yeah, but I mentioned that because, I mean, look at those stats. He only had 5 blocks. I don't know about you guys. I'm out on this
guy. You were disappointed by 5?
I'm out on this guy. Blocks, I'm expecting 15.
A couple of those blocks, by the way, were with his armpit. Like, he was so...
Yeah, like he's just so long.
He would mistime things and, like, easily block them. Like, so... I would say my big takeaways as an NBA fan is, first of all, I think a lot of people had never seen him miss a shot because the version everyone was getting was just
condensed
the
highlights. Yeah.
But he, like, watching him move on the court, like, he knows where to be. It's just he probably needs to, like, you know, pick up the tempo a little bit more of, like, what, you know, how everybody's moving and stuff like that. But defensively, he's going to be a game changer. Like, you could just see it right away. Like, nobody wanted to attempt a shot in the quadrant of the court that he was on. Not even, like, challenge him, but, like, he was just affecting shots everywhere.
Even his version of, like, the cornet contest, like, felt dangerous. Yeah. Like, when he was like, I don't know, I'll just go up. I'm like, he might block that.
The cornet contest is the move where you jump up when you're in the paint and someone's shooting 3 that we saw Luke Cornett do with the Celtics this year.
He did get dunked on, though.
Yeah.
He did get dunked on. But I will say, he was also, like, doing the thing that Giannis did in that highlight in the finals. He was guarding the person who threw the alley-oop and then, like, very nearly blocked the dunk.
I agree with that.
But the still image
full poster
doesn't tell the full... Doesn't tell the full story, for sure. Cassidy, famously, you know what you're talking about when it comes to basketball. I don't.
Yeah.
So,
we're idiots. So we should open every.
Yes, usually we do.
We just got so excited about the Wembanyama thing. We're kind of idiots.
Now I saw those stats. Like you said, I said he only had 5 rebounds. This guy's a bust. Can you explain to me and the other fans who are very worried why we are completely wrong and off base?
It's one summer league game.
Okay, that's fair.
Come on.
Let's.
But that. look, that's the nature of Summer League. That's also part of the fun. That's also the reason why there's an NBA con right now in Las Vegas, because of the success and interest level in Summer League. Because NBA fans love talking about the NBA and controversy and, you know, debating. And so you're fine to live in that world.
No, I'd rather not.
If it makes you happy.
No, I want to be in the sun.
You know, over here in reality, he's a very unique player.
Yeah.
Like what you guys are saying from my vantage point, defensively, he's going to be a problem. Offensively, there is a problem right now that I think is fixable. They just got to learn how to play with him. The spacing with a 7'5 guard? How do you figure that out? So I think that was definitely on display last night. Give him time. Give him some time under Pop. He's already having dinners with Tim Duncan and, you know, David Robinson
some good
and
Manu Ginobili sharing going on there.
And Tony Parker. Like he said himself, I mean, I have the best role models you could possibly ask for.
Right.
And so will there be a lot of pressure on him? Yes. Is he deserving of it? People who are more in the know, more experts in, you know, watching his development say he absolutely is. So I am going to trust that and trust the process, and we'll see how it plays out when he actually is focused on
winning
basketball
games. Even to his credit, you know, people are asking, like, you know, how did you feel about your debut? And he said the thing is, like, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing out there. That kind of, to me, demonstrates his mentality that he's not so attached to it. He's transparent enough to be like, yeah, you know, what you saw was me just, I met these guys just
trying
very
to figure
recently.
It out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure
he's
it out.
He's very authentic.
Yeah.
He's, you know, like, even, I mean, I know we're past this Britney Spears situation, but I was there on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And
I heard you pushed her into his back. Is that true?
See if we review the tape. Yeah. But just like, you know, even in having, like, hearing him kind of address that, he just plainly, you know, said what he knew and what happened.
Yeah.
He could have had a prepared statement because there was some illegal matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just saw like an authenticity of like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like I felt something.
I just told out, to get going. Started, got my people on doing some big PR spin campaign about like how she was coming for him or something. I don't know.
There's like a humble.
He was just like, I don't know. It was a weird thing. They're very crowded.
Yeah, and he's like, and they told me to just keep walking because if we stop, it'll be a bottleneck.
Yeah.
I'm like, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
It's going to be interesting to see just how he takes on the pressure that he says he's never felt in his life and how that materializes, you know, throughout the NBA season, because it will be there constantly, especially given that, you know, he already has eyeballs on him in Las Vegas Summer League, and that's an indicator that like people like ESPN are going to want to put him on national TV if you're already grabbing attention during the summer. So it's going to be all right.
I almost burned my jersey.
It's not your fault, Miles.
I'm very knee-jerk. I'm a highly reactionary person.
Okay, well, we've seen more games out of Brandon Miller.
Yeah, he looks great.
He looked great last night.
And he loves unlimited fouls.
But he didn't commit a foul last night.
Yeah.
So, he did. I think he did look good last night. I think he wanted to prove a point. Scoot Henderson looked really
good.
I really hope that his shoulder injury is not too serious and they won't shut him down, because I just had a feeling like he felt like he should have been the number one pick. Obviously, Wembanyama was always going to be the number one pick. But the question of, you know, who should have went to, should Charlotte have taken Scoot, regardless of, you know, the fact that him and LaMelo play the same position, I think that's going to be a conversation that happens throughout the season. But Scoot was electric. He had that arena just as hyped, I thought, that as Wembanyama.
We had the misfortune of showing up right after he got pulled. He got his 13 points. But after watching everything, the replays and stuff, it was, I wish we had left a little bit sooner to get there. But it was what it was.
Yeah, he looks awesome.
And so did Jabari Smith Jr. And I love that he's playing in Summer League.
Yeah.
And his answer was did you see our record last year?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I play?
We won 16 games and I'm 20 years old.
Why wouldn't I play?
Yeah.
We got there just in time for the Jabari Smith Jr. show.
The show. Yeah.
And then the game winner at the end, that's peak summer league.
Yeah.
It's like, it feels like March Madness, and then they turn around and do the next game.
And you're like,
it was awesome.
Yeah, it is a little.
And then tonight, I have like the Pacers and the Wizards. Ben Mathurin's expected to play.
Wow.
And that guy could have won Sixth Man of the Year.
Okay.
So I'm loving these second year guys, you know, wanting to come out here, just get some run in. Why not? You know, you're still young.
Right.
Just because you got, you know, meaningful minutes doesn't mean that, like, playing summer league, you know, erases that.
Right.
Yeah. Just one more thing on Wemby on the offensive end, because another smart NBA person, my good friend Robert Ori, once said to us about he was on the show, and now we're best friends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did he let you have one of his rings?
He offered it to me, but I thought it was a little awkward.
He didn't tell you to get out of the way yesterday.
He did,
when you tried to introduce yourself again.
When I tried to hug him. Yeah.
Did you really? And did you get muffed?
It's
Jack. Okay.
All right, man. But he was talking about with regards to actually Luka, he was saying that Luka is...
Congrats to Luka. He just got engaged.
Yes. Is like... too slow sometimes for defenders to like know what he's doing. Like, he's so methodical, and like his movement on the court, like, it feels like, wait, how is this working? Because he's like actually a step slower, but that is like throwing the defense off, and he knows exactly what to do with that step. And I feel like with Wembanyama on offense, and I can't like put it to words exactly what it was, but there was something with like pace and like him maybe trying to like rush it a little too much, and like, there's going to be something he figures out with regards to like how to use his not necessarily slowness, but, you know, his like being methodical, and, you know, he has great footwork for a big guy. And I think there's going to be something there. And I think like when he puts it together, it's going to be interesting, and it's not going to look like any other NBA player.
I know what you mean. It's sort of like trying to hit an off-speed pitch where it's like not necessarily coming at you the fastest, but you're, as you try to predict where it's going, it's very difficult. And I think with, like you said, because it's amazing how far the ball just travels, like within his wingspan, that most people would begin to be, you know, shifting their weight.
At one point, he crossed over, and like the whole defense had to shift because when he crosses over, the ball goes from one side of the court to the other.
I mean, I think watching him is going to be a similar experience for fans as watching Nikola Jokic, like truly trying to understand like how he impacts the game and whatever his magic is going to be at his size.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good bar.
His passing was really good last night.
Yeah.
Like he dropped some dimes.
He picked up, you know, Brandon Miller a couple times on D as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to ever be like,
you know, it's watching Space Jam,
flashy,
the final game
or
something.
Right, You wanted him to dunk from half court,
exactly,
didn't you?
Exactly.
That's what all these fans like you, like, why didn't he dunk from half
court? My only concept of basketball comes from Space Jam. And I'm like, where are the monsters?
It's the only basketball he's ever watched until last night.
Yeah, so. And I was kind of freaked out. I was like, those guys, I don't see any monsters out there.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call.
If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Since we are at NBA FanCon, I kind of want to ask you about your fandom, because we're always curious about this with people who cover basketball. Do you have a team? Are you a fan? Or because of your professionalism and being around the game so much, you've transcended fandom and you're purely across the board enjoyer of the game?
So I grew up in Chicago.
Okay.
During the Jordan years. So
sir, Blazers fan.
I did love Clyde Drexler.
Okay,
I really
did. But...
yeah, it just that was basically a big part of like how I'm in this business, and you know, my love for sports and specifically the NBA.
Right.
Am I a Bulls fan now? Yes, I pay attention to them, but not as much as I did growing up, because I have to pay attention to the entire league. And on top of that, the Bulls are not on national TV as much as they used to be.
Sure, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where is my fandom? My fandom is for the NBA.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of at the heart of, you know, my passion for my job, is that I try to lean in to that passion of loving the NBA and being interested in the personalities of not just the players, but the leagues and the teams and, you know, the drama and the transactions and all the different milestones in an NBA season, and the energy around each days in the calendar that kind of like get you excited for whatever is coming up next. So yes, in a long-winded answer, my biggest team is the NBA.
Right. But I think even like with this season too, and Wemby, we're always reminded of like international appeal of the game. And for you, you said, I've heard that you had the Bulls fandom reinforced in the States, and also when you go to the Philippines too. Like, was there a huge contingent of Bulls fans in the Philippines, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to the Philippines since I was in college, but like, you know, the Philippines just have massive love for the NBA. They love the Warriors and Lakers. Those are the two biggest.
Oh, really? Yeah,
yes.
Right. Is that because so many Filipinos end up coming to the West Coast? So
yes,
it is sort of like,
yes,
yeah. Like, I know
actually,
California.
Last night there were a lot of Filipinos there for the Warriors-Lakers game.
Yeah.
Which was pretty awesome.
And mabuhay to all of our international listeners as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you got anything, Jack?
Can you talk about
it? Yeah, say, you're hungry. You said you know how to say that in Tagalog.
Yeah.
Gutom na ako, no?
Gutom na ako.
Okay, no, yeah. I tried to help you, but get
what? Sorry, the mic is cutting out. Can you talk about Hoops Paradise? Because that's a show where you and Nico, you know, talked about how the special connection between the Philippines and the NBA. And you had a great, like, at episode 5, you had a great conversation with Raymond Townsend,
hey,
the first Filipino-American NBA player. Also caught up with Spo. And can you just talk about, like, what the journey was like on that show?
I mean, it was awesome. It was, like, hanging out with not just Nico, who is, you know, my brother from another mother, but, you know, Peter and Grace. working on that, who are producers.
Yeah. They were showing off their shoes. Like, Nico got us these Jordans from the Philippines. We're like, okay.
Sorry.
We've been up here for 2 days recording. This is the first time Peter has clapped for the show.
Have you name-dropped him? Because that is exactly what I did, and that's the only way. Yeah.
We obviously got to shout out Stephen Weintraub, the god, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? From the NBA. You know, we got them all out
That's
here.
Right.
No, but it was actually a beautiful journey for me personally. It helped me reconnect with my heritage, and also, you know, being able to kind of learn just more about the passion. I experience it when I'm at games, and you know, I have a lot of Filipino fans reach out to me and like, you know, we love the NBA. It's great to see a Filipino, you know, cover the NBA and on the sidelines, and that means everything to me. And working on this podcast, it was kind of like Nico was educating me along with the viewers just how deep the passion is in the Philippines. And being able to speak with Spo, this was before, obviously, the playoff run. You know, he kind of has a similar experience. We were both actually born in the same town.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And we both are mixed with, you know, kind of the same descent. His mom is Filipino, just like mine, and his dad is of European descent. So we're like, are we brother and sister?
Cousins,
I don't
for
know.
Sure, on some level, right? Yeah.
But he's awesome, and he's obviously going to the Philippines this summer. And he said that listening to Hoops Paradise, he told me this during the playoff runs, he's going to do that on his way to the Philippines. So,
nice.
I held him to it. I saw him yesterday, but I'm going to hold him to it when he gets back.
Be like, screenshot that you subscribe.
Yes, seriously.
Leave a review.
Yes, the review is the big thing.
People are like, I think Eric Spoelstra reviewed
just
this.
A few Filipino flags, and then we good.
Maybe
a fire.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought you were going to say he listened to the show, and it inspired their playoff run.
Oh, no.
Which, yeah.
Just, can you edit this?
Okay, let's take that one more time.
Insert that.
Yeah, and then, so you said Eric Spoelstra credits the podcast for their deep playoff.
Credits Hoops Paradise for
the power
making
of these
it
podcasts.
To the NBA Finals.
It's the power of these podcasts, I gotta tell you. All right, well, I think it's time now.
It's time?
Yes. Cassidy,
what is
you're
the time
on the show.
For?
You're on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, and we have a segment called the Rapid Fire Round of Questioning. Now, we're going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Just give
Am
us
I
your
ready
take.
For this?
Just fire it right back. Just give us a quick, succinct answer. If we start talking on and on, we need you to just help guide the segment because you're a professional and we are not.
Am I?
As you mentioned, idiots.
We don't quite know what we're doing. And we like to keep the title that this is the fastest question and answer segment in all sports podcasting.
All right,
so please, we're counting on you.
Why am I sweating? Okay, let's
go. It's fine. Jack, you want to go? All right, you went first last time.
Yeah, why don't you take it?
I'm going to go first. Here we go. We're talking teams that we want to cover in the offseason. Now, the Spurs are obviously a shoe, and what's a team you're expecting big things from? We talked about, you know, obviously OKC, Orlando, Phoenix, Portland. Who else do you want to throw in the mix, and why?
Lakers.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, they made some interesting moves. I mean, they were in the Western Conference Finals. Like, they brought back pretty much, you know, all the main characters, and then added Gabe Vincent, so... they're always going to be interesting because what does LeBron have left in the tank?
Yeah.
I think the Bucks, they made great moves as well. They were, you know, they were the favorites. Giannis is posting all over social media. Like, I'm focused. I'm going to come back. So I would say I'm interested in the Bucks in the East and I guess the Lakers in the West.
Okay, yeah. No
shame I feel
in
like
that.
The Lakers don't get enough attention on the on
they
this
really
podcast
don't.
In
no.
particular.
Oh,
from
no.
Miles,
this podcast.
The Lakers,
no.
man.
No,
the
no, Lakers
no.
Did.
And just generally media wise.
Yes, they really are not talked about.
All right.
They should talk more about that guy, LeBron James.
That's right.
You We're know, in, they as in us, as I wear an ESPN polo shirt.
All right. We are in the middle of NBA Con. There are like little like games all over the place. There's a 20-foot hoop over there that I dunked on earlier. There's a free
Did
throw contest.
Did you dunk
contest.
On a 20-foot
hoop? Yeah. Dunked on the 20-foot hoop. No big deal.
20-inch hoop.
There's like a half-court shot contest over there. Can you pitch me an NBA Con feature? It doesn't have to cohere to the laws of physics or reality. Our super producer, Brian, was saying he wants to like be able to like feel what it's like to dunk. Like somehow, maybe with like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon wires. I'd like something that allows me to walk around in the world and feel like I'm the size of Victor Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. Like if they just like created a miniature room specifically.
I'd want one. It's a court shrunken down to my scale. Yeah. So my 6 foot one frame feels like it's 6'8".
Yeah.
And the ball's just a little bit smaller. Yeah. The hoop's just a little bit lower.
Yeah.
That's my wish list.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I was thinking about like a bouncy house type of basketball situation, mm-hmm. but I feel like that's done.
Yeah.
I keep seeing videos of Drake's concert and his hologram that he has, like that he sits next to on a couch.
Yeah.
It would be cool to do like holograms of like legends.
Ooh.
And that type of visual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or it could be weird too, but I think it could be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to do another couple of, like laps and see if I
inspiration.
For inspiration.
I would love holograms too. Just a made up panel of just everybody.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And you could just like pretend like you're hanging out with a bunch of your friends. Yeah. You would know, like create like a table of like you're out to dinner. Like look at the dinner party I was at in Vegas.
Right.
Like put like a Carbone background.
Right.
Hey, I was at Carbone. I was hanging out with LeBron and you know.
Okay.
Fool everyone.
Here's my next question.
Best time ever.
Somebody who, you know, travels the league and knows the teams pretty well. What's the best NBA city to catch a game in? And what's your favorite thing to eat in that city?
Okay. It's hard for me because I base everything on where my seat is and how easy it is for me to do my job in terms of NBA cities. Because the first thing is like, obviously I would say MSG,
mm-hmm.
But I also hate doing games in MSG mm-hmm. because my seat is so uncomfortable there.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Like we have like a little, I'm not going to go into me complaining about my seat.
No, I actually want to know. What is it like?
There's no desk.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm balancing like my laptop and my.
Oh, okay.
You
so
know,
wow. Like it's as if you're in a normal
notes.
Seat. Yeah. It's a lot.
And then I'm in the crowd.
Right.
And so people are always like reaching down on my computer and like. So. But,
did you pass me that beer right there?
Yeah. Hey, behind you. You're passing over your head really quick.
Legitimate. But that's also with, you know, the Jazz Arena used to be, I would have to walk up into the stands and like go, excuse me.
Oh, wow.
Every time I was like, go down to a, do a play, a coach's interview. So those two places, I don't love doing games.
But the cities,
like Salt Lake City did an amazing job.
Yeah.
We were on a panel. All-Star. And New York is New York. I mean, I'm from New York.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So best meal.
Best meal. In New York?
Sure.
That's really hard.
You know, okay. You don't have to tell people like unequivocally this is the best thing. But for you, what is your go-to?
I mean, there's so many.
Someone comes
I live
to New
there.
York. I've never been to New York. What's good to eat, Cassidy? Take me somewhere.
Well, I don't think you can go wrong with like there's so many good Italian spots in New York.
Yeah,
in New York?
No, I'm just
kidding. never heard this.
I'm just gonna leave it at that. I can't find a good Chinese place and I can't find good Mexican for some reason, but I think that's a me problem and not an NYC problem.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, the question everybody's here to hear you answer, Jack, which is me, or Miles?
Which is me.
I'm just picking between
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have more history with Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what, not.
That wasn't the answer. Hold on. I just thought that sounded like I thought you were maybe weighing
preamble.
The options.
Oh. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, that's your
I don't know how to answer
now
this.
Now she's already seen how graceless I am in Victor.
Wait. Are we talking about like this is my, you know, partner for 2-on-2? Like, are we talking
whatever,
like
however,
what is the
it's just
question?
Jack. Yeah, all right, for 2-on-2 then.
But you also get points because you busted out the mabuhay.
Yeah, you know.
Wait, are you Filipino?
No, I'm Black and East. But
okay.
I grew up around
a lot
of food. Oh yeah, that's why I have to know that.
Yeah,
you gotta
and that's
learn
why
it.
I know.
No,
put them not cold so I can get fed.
You really could, you know. And that's what Filipinos do. We just go up to around
like Filipino. Yeah.
Filipino.
Hey, I'm
like,
Filipino.
You Filipino?
Yeah. No, but I love pancit. So you know, let's go. All right, so.
So now it's 1-1.
Yeah.
I don't know what's gonna be the tiebreaker. Dang.
Dunked on that 20-foot hoop earlier. If we're doing the,
I don't know anything about basketball.
Oh, okay, who's your favorite team?
The Lakers.
Who's your favorite team?
Sixers.
I think I got to go with him.
I've covered
a lot this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I've been on kind of like a Sixers beat.
I think that's a good answer. I can live with that.
Cassidy Hubbard, thank you so much for joining us on Miles and Jack Up, Matt Boosties.
Yeah.
This was fun,
guys. Guest. Where can people find you, follow you, see you, hear you, all that good stuff?
I'll be on the sidelines next two nights, or Saturday and Sunday, depending on when you listen to this. And then I'm out.
You catch me on the beach.
Yeah.
I'll see you in the fall.
Yeah.
Cool. On the sidelines. And also don't forget to download, subscribe, comment, Eric Spoelstra.
Please, Spo.
Pull your weight, my man. Wherever you find your podcast. Thank you so much for having
me,
guys.
Thanks for doing it.
Well, this wraps it up for this edition of Mad Boosties live from NBAcon in Vegas. Check us out on hashtag Mad Boosties, BOOSTIES. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Well, 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 people, welcome back to NBAcon. Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties. We are here for a very, very special discussion. We have probably the most iconic guest we have ever had on this show.
Yeah, the most doesn't seem like we should be sitting next to this person.
No. Instantly classes up the podcast by having this man even sit next to us and entertain our questions that sometimes border on not the most intelligent, but we are here to have some very intelligent discussion with Hall of Famer Spencer Haywood. What is going on, Spencer? Thank you so much for joining
us. This is just incredible, and what you guys are doing with your podcast and with NBA Con is just, I am so floored by everything and how it was put together in a short period of time. And also, last night, for an example, I mean, it was insane.
Yeah.
Over at Thomason, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to talk a little bit to you about that. Like, Summer League is going on. This is obviously some big moments for people entering the league. You yourself, I mean, we're going to get into that, have a very storied entry into the league and things like that. But, you know, what do you think, you know, what is this like for these guys that are showing up here and they're sort of on the precipice of entering the league? Like, what's sort of that experience like?
You know, it's a great opportunity, really. I mean, you got players like Garcia last night. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm watching him from Golden State. I'm, whoa, somebody.
Yeah.
If Golden State don't sign him, I would go after him.
Yeah,
because he's game ready.
Yeah,
and he's been playing in Brazil for I guess 4 years or 5 years.
Yeah,
he's just, it was so special. That was one of the guys I was watching, and I watched Wimby and the other kid from Alabama.
Yeah,
Miller.
Yeah.
So I was just watching players, and then I was watching guys who were not in the spotlight, but yet they are going to be in the spotlight because they are going to make some teams. So I sat up there last night in my home watching games all night. I'm like, well, they had the Lakers on
I
had to finish that one off. But it's just so exciting for the city of Las Vegas and for the fans to be here on the weekend to be a part of this. This is just an awesome time.
Yeah. There was one moment during the Blazers game, we're all watching Scoot and, you know, Jabari Smith Jr., and then this guy gets out there, he's a little smaller, he starts like banging threes, like fading away out of bounds, like hitting threes, and I was like, that guy looks familiar. It was Antoine Davis, who like came 3 points shy of breaking Pete Maravich's
scoring
record.
But guess where he went to school?
Detroit Mercy.
Hello.
Yeah. That's right. There it is.
And everybody is talking, well, you know, he's too small. He don't have the body. He is.
He can fill it up.
He can fill it up.
Yeah.
And the guy like that, he's making this worth right now.
Yeah.
And then if you miss out on the NBA, you can go to the G League, you can go to Europe, you can go to China. Well, I mean, if you go to China, you might be stuck with a contract and they won't let you come back.
Right.
Yeah, right away.
But I mean, so you had a pretty unique rookie season in that you won Rookie of the Year and MVP of the ABA.
And MVP of the All-Star Game.
And
well.
NBA.
Please sprinkle some respect on that.
Sorry. And just so, you know, so these people won't be thinking, well, he averaged 10 and 10.
No.
I averaged 30 and 20.
And 19.
Yeah, we saw that.
I mean.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And I was 19 years old.
Right.
So all of these young guys who are like, oh, my gosh, he's going to mature when he gets to be 25. I was like, man, I had played. And they went to the Supreme Court. I've done everything before.
Right. And I think that's a huge thing to talk about, right? Because a lot of people don't realize how you are a seminal figure in the league that we have today. That without, just for people who don't know, kind of describe the situation. Because we would not have people like Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, other people being able
Michael
to
Jordan,
Michael
all
Jordan,
of them.
Yeah, not
well,
doing the 4 years
just
after high school.
Walk me through that process.
Yeah.
When I was in the ABA, after that first year, I jumped to the NBA. The NBA said that I was ineligible to play because I hadn't finished 4 years of college, and you had to have 4 years out of basketball. I mean, 4 years after your high school class, I graduated before you could go into the NBA. And so I sued them for the rights to play.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like my case started off like, well, okay, I have a 10-game injunction against me.
Yeah.
So I had to sit home with Rick Welts, you know, who was the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, okay.
He was the general manager up there. Uh-huh. He was our ball boy.
Oh, really?
In Seattle.
Just chilling with him.
I know. This is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
In Seattle, he was our ball boy.
Wow.
And Lenny Wilkins was the player coach.
Yeah.
He played and coached.
Yeah.
Tom Mashery was the associate coach.
Wow.
And our assistant coach was Rod Thorne, who was a player coach.
Right.
Eventually, so all
front
of these
office.
Guys, yeah. We had no one on that team had on a suit. Everybody had on a
uniform. Right. Everyone was wearing a uniform.
No,
which,
uniform.
By the way, I think coaches should still have to wear the uniform. Don't you think that would be funny?
Like in baseball.
Like yes. Real big baggy shorts.
Well, some of the outfits they're wearing today, I was like,
yeah. It's a lot of warm-ups now anyways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put on a suit or something.
Yeah.
But so they would get a 10-game injunction against me, and then I would get a 10-game stay to play.
Uh-huh.
And when I would walk out on the floor, they would say, ladies and gentlemen, we have an illegal player on the floor, number 24. This game is being played under protest.
All right.
Wait, the opposing team, like when you were playing an away game?
Okay, one particular night I was playing in Chicago against the Chicago Bulls. Chet Walker said he hurt his ankle while I was warming up. And they sued me for $600,000.
What?
That was the
That's
battle.
Crazy. Wow.
That was the battle.
So you up against
so
all this.
So I go through
this,
all of this stuff, and I go through the lower courts all the way to the district, and we got to the Supreme Court where Thurgood Marshall, Justice, I think it's Warren or Douglas or somebody who else was the head justice at that time, on March 1st, 1971, said, we cannot stop this young man from playing basketball in the NBA because we are allowing our players, our young men, to go to war in Vietnam and places like that at age 18.
Right.
And yet we're asking him to stay in college.
Yeah.
And at the same time, my family was dirt poor in Silver City, Mississippi,
right,
making $2 a day.
Yeah.
So I was like trying to, you know, get my folks out of that.
And you don't have a small family either, right?
No, I was 10 of us.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So that makes it real important. Yeah,
so,
it's not just about
So then they hand down that decision, and that's what changed the NBA game as we know it. Because from that point on, the NBA, we only had 16 teams, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, because of this ruling, the NBA were able to say, oh, we can go get Bob McAdoo. We can go get all of these players to leave college early. They would come into the NBA, and we can expand.
Yeah,
right.
And that's how the expansion came about, through this one little old dude.
Yeah,
from Silver City, Mississippi. And it ain't no silver, it ain't no city.
Just a cotton field.
Do you think the Chief Justice, like there's probably some legal reasoning, but do you think he was just a fan of your game and wanted to see you get out there and put the ball in the hoop, and that's why?
No, they were going.
He's like, I got to see this guy
legal
ball.
No,
did you see him in the NBA?
You know, I got to see it. I got to see him. No. That was a good one.
Yeah.
That's
I don't know, Thurgood. We'll see it. We'll see what he can do.
Yeah.
All right, I'll vote on his side.
They're doing the movie of my life, so I got to incorporate that. Yeah, I got to incorporate that in. Thurgood Marshall said,
I'm telling you,
I gotta go see this guy
see
play.
The fadeaway
so
jumper. Yo, his turnaround is like
this big man can shoot
by a couple
have you seen
days,
his man,
and he can rebound. Man, I want to see him play.
They're like, yeah, right.
So this case is done.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's go watch him.
Yeah. But from this case, you know, it is estimated that in players' revenue and players' salary, it has been somewhere around $1 billion.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
A lot of money made by people.
You think about,
they have no idea who I am.
Well, the domino effect, right? Because, like, that's what I say. Like, you've not only, like, when you think
this
about
this. This is from 1971 until now.
Right. And you think about all the people that have been able to enter the league early. And, you know, famously, we talk about LeBron James, right? Yeah. What would that, what's that scoring title look like if he doesn't
enter? He would be 8,341 points short of Kareem.
Oh, okay, wow. So you did that math.
I did the math.
You did that just now.
I've been hanging out with Kareem, so, yeah. You know.
Oh, right. And what does he tell you? Is he any hard feelings?
No. Kareem is so mellow.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Remember, when I was going through this case, the Players Association, the union, they didn't support me.
Wow.
So when I won the case, it was still a little difficulty. So when we got to Milwaukee to play the Bucks, and normally they would take their team downstairs and say, well, let them sweat it out up there. Let people hit him with real bottles. And Kareem didn't go downstairs. Uh-huh. He stayed up. Wow. Yeah. So we've been buddies from 1971.
Cool. Wow. I'm sure he teases you, though, probably.
Yeah.
He's like,
why did you mess up my shit?
Yeah.
Letting all these young guys come in early. Man.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so important, too. Like, when we had the opportunity to sit down with you, for us, it's like you don't have the league as it is today without your trials and tribulations and the work that the foundation that you laid the groundwork for. And it's nice to see people like, you know, I always see people like Kevin Garnett. He's very consistent with giving you your flowers. And pointing to the work that you've done. How, you know, like, and he talks about sort of like this generational wisdom in the game. How, like, do you see that evolving, or do you, like, what's the importance of, you know, people like you or people who've experienced the league and know the ins and outs of things, of being able to transmit that knowledge down to these guys who are entering the league, especially in a time like this where we're seeing so many guys coming?
That is one of the things that all of us old heads talk about.
Right.
We need to be around the young guys to just impart this information and the understanding so that they can appreciate the game. Like, okay, for an example, I was talking with one of the handlers for Ja. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and he said, you know, maybe if Ja knew that you went to the Supreme Court, that you had to struggle through all of this to get where he is today and to use that experience as he wouldn't take the NBA for granted.
Sure. But what are some other, like, what are some things, like, pieces of wisdom that you would pass down to, like, you know, a rookie coming in and say, hey, Spencer, you know, drop some science on me. Well, what's something I need to know?
Well, I would drop the knowledge on them stating that, you know, back in the day, before I got my contract, Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell were arguing over who's going to be the highest paid player in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And the salary was $125,000 per year, not per diem.
Right, I know.
Was getting $12 per diem.
Right,
but
right.
Anyway, and Red Auerbach said, well, you know, I want to make you the highest paid player, Bill Russell. He reached in his pocket and gave him $1 more.
Yeah, there you go. That'll do it.
That's right. History. So Bill Russell said, hey, I'm the highest paid player. I'm the best player. I'm in. Let's
go.
Right. And so those kind of stories and just knowing the history of the game and knowing the beauty of this game, how far it has grown. I mean, you got guys who are making $260 million, all of this stuff here. And, like, so when I was hanging with LeBron, I was telling him, I said, hey, you know, you owe me.
Yeah.
And so I said, a percentage. No, I haven't worked
so
out.
So I don't want them to get nervous about that percentage.
No.
I was explaining to them.
I mean, I did the math. I already did the math on the numbers.
So I was explaining that, you know, you making like $50 million a year, you would be $200 million short.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you got four extra years.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So things to think about. LeBron is a listener, so something for you to think about. LeBron.
He did a special on for me on Showtime.
Yeah.
Called the what is it called? I can't think of the name of it right now. That's the problem with getting old.
I've already got that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
it's called the case.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on Showtime. Yeah. On Showtime. But he did a nice, wonderful special on me about the rule, is what it's called.
Right.
And So a lot of players are beginning to learn about what I've done and who I am.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful time for basketball.
Yeah.
Just looking around and hear what you guys are doing. And look at what you're doing with your podcast. It's just huge.
Oh, we wouldn't have this show also without you.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say it.
I started recording straight out of high school, you know.
Yeah. They used to say you couldn't. They used to say a couple more years in junior high.
On the court, you went against some of the best. You are one of the best. What are your thoughts on this current state of the big man in the NBA? Because I mean, we got Embiid. I'm a Sixers fan. We got Embiid. We got Jokic. You know, we've got some unconventional big men like Giannis. But you know, 6 to 8 years ago, everyone was like, small ball's the future, big men are over. What are your thoughts on
big man
where
will
it's
never
headed?
Be over because you have to play the game. You have to play it inside and out, not outside and in, unless you're Golden State.
But right.
That's
right.
Just another
it's a completely
story.
Different story. Yeah. That's right.
But I look at a guy like Boogie Cousins, Dwight Howard. I can't understand why they're not in the league. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then I look at a guy like Jokic. I mean, what a player.
Yeah, man.
I mean, fundamentals can take you where talent can't take you.
Right.
The fundamentals of the game can take you where talent can't take you. Because I look at him, do you know the last three MVPs are non-Americans?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And at the end, the
game is so big.
Yeah. Also big men.
And also big men. Yeah. So the theory that, you know, we're going to be a three-point shooting contest is not valid.
Did you think that you would see the position evolve in this way where we're seeing seven-footers who are now point guards and anything like that? Or is this kind of...
Well, we're just going through a phase, but I still believe that you have to play with in and then you go out.
Yeah.
Because if you throw the ball into the center and you cut off of him, you run to your three-point line or whatever, you can get a good shot.
Yeah.
You got to throw it out if they double.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, you do the
other percentage.
Joke.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
So the game is just evolving, and it's constantly evolving, and it's just so.
One thing I always think about with like the evolution of the game is just how the physicality and how different things are and everything. I could already see a smile on your face.
I would have loved to play right now.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Yeah, I mean,
I would fall over.
Yeah.
What were things that were like that you were like that was normal when I was playing that to now you're like that's a flake? Or you know, like
Dave DeBusschere, Gus Johnson, Wes Unseld, Elvin Hayes. I'm just going with the forwards.
Yeah.
Sidney Wicks is another guy that you don't hear about. Maurice Lucas. We bang. It's like a bloody war.
Yeah.
You know, and to see guys, you know, like no touch. And you take that three-step, Euro-step. It's all good for basketball because you can bring in everybody else into it. And so you can make the adapt. You can adapt to the game. But nevertheless, boy. Hey, look at that. There's a Sonic jersey.
Hey.
What the heck is going on here? And there's a Laker.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, what's going on here?
They know you're coming around. What was like the most physical game you ever played in terms of like, or were there ever times like you got really rocked and you're like, okay, I can't show anything.
I got rocked a few times with Baltimore Bullets way back in the day when I first came into the league. I know you all are wondering out there, is there such a thing as Baltimore?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. There was the Baltimore Bullets back in the day, which is the Washington Wizards today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a team called the Seattle Supersonics back in the day that is
now
OKC, but back to Seattle.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know,
Well, like, so what happened in that game when you were playing against Baltimore?
Well, Gus Johnson and Wes Unseld suppressed me.
Uh-huh.
I fell to the floor, and I said, Lenny, can you give me a hand, man?
Yeah.
He said, get up on your own. You're in the NBA, sir.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. Welcome to the league.
Yeah, I bet.
Because I had came over from the ABA, yeah. And it was like these guys
are trying,
like,
to test you. I'm sure.
Test me.
Yeah.
Then I went from Baltimore. We played the New York Knicks, and that was Dave DeBusschere, Jerry Lucas, Willis Reed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, this is real ball here.
Yeah.
So it was just a rugged kind of game. But I'm kind of partial to the non-touch somewhat because we lost a lot of players because of the physicality of the game. And so we didn't get a chance to get guys playing 20 years, 15 years, 15 seasons, unless you're Kareem. And you got Sky Hook.
Can you talk
about... when I was with the Lakers, he was telling me, you know, with your hand, I can teach you how to shoot the Sky Hook. And I kept looking at him like, do you know if I get that close, I'm going to jump over and dunk it.
Right. Or I could just dunk it.
So I lost 5 years of my career
because
I didn't listen to Kareem.
Yeah, he seemed like he had it figured
out. Because Magic... the three of us were working on that, on the Sky Hook, and Kareem was teaching me in Magic, the Sky Hook. And Magic stayed with it, and I didn't. I went someplace and got out. I did. Well,
yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah,
yeah, it is what
different
it is.
Priorities.
1980s.
Yeah.
No, it was just, I fell into a bad place.
Right? Yeah, right. Well, I'm glad you got out.
Oh, yeah. 39 years of sobriety. So
congratulations, Chris.
Most I drink is water.
It's water.
Yeah. But it is Aquafina, so I won't tag you for that.
But, you know, hey.
What was the medical, like, you know, when you felt that when you got hurt, like, what were you, were they, like, sticking your swollen foot in a ice bath with some beers in there? Or, like,
another thing that was cool that I thought was kind of crazy, but I was, wow. The guys was at halftime, they was in there smoking cigarettes. And, hey, you know, it's cold in Boston right now. Give me some of that brown whiskey.
Right.
Wow.
Feel good now.
Yeah.
So it was different.
Yeah.
And then when you got hurt, it was like, you get hurt in the first half, and you crawl into the locker room, and guess what? I got a big old horse needle here for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to shoot you up, and you get your butt back out there and play. And then we would get out of the game and finish playing. We'd get on the bus, go back to the hotel. No restaurants is open.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's 10 or 11 o'clock.
Right.
So we had to go search for food.
Ooh.
And, you know, it was just life.
Yeah.
And young players need to know these stories because they're flying on
their
planes.
Own planes. Yeah.
And we were flying. Hey, I was the MVP, and I'm flying on a plane in the coach.
With your frame?
Yes.
What was that even like? Would you even physically get in the seat? Yeah, you were like doing like a cannonball position.
Yeah.
Your knees to your chest.
Yeah. That's what basketball used to be like and where we are today. So the appreciation levels should be so much higher.
Yeah, and I think it is as more people learn. And I think that's why, you know, we got to thank you again just for coming on our podcast because, this is, it's not often that we get to speak with people, you know, who have had such a lasting impact on the league. And in a way too that's so subtle that I think more and more people are learning just how important you are. So as a fan, I want to thank you. As a Laker fan, I'm going to thank you many times. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you know, them guys are always telling me Magic and Cooper and all of, if you had stayed sober, we would have had 5 in a row.
I bet.
Guys.
Yeah.
Don't lean on me so hard.
Yeah. But they said it from their lips to your ears, you know what I mean?
It is what it is.
Well, thank you so much, Spencer.
Hey, yeah,
for joining
thank
us
you.
On Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosies. And thank you guys for listening to this very special episode live from NBA Con in Las Vegas.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
See new things, try new things, go back centuries while living in the moment, forge new paths while discovering old ones, pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.